All right, so like you ever watch those chess grandmasters? The way they just stare at the board like they're trying to melt the pieces with their minds,
Yeah.
sometimes for hours. Turns out OpenAI is kind of going for that whole strategic depth thing with their new AI model, O1. It's like design everything slowly, methodically, you know? Like a Silicon Grandmaster plotting its next move.
It's definitely a different approach than what we're used to with the usual large language models, the LLMs. Those are all about predicting the next word, right? Like supercharged autocomplete. But O1, this one's built on reinforcement learning, which changes things up a bit. It's about teaching the AI to actually reason, plan things out step by step, like a human would, kind of.
So, okay, it's thinking slow, but is it thinking good? Because the stuff they're saying it can do. Acing those crazy PhD science exams, writing complex code, even coming up with solutions that experts have been stuck on for years. I read that thing about it designing a whole new kind of battery.
It's pretty remarkable. And this isn't just about being faster, you know. It's a totally different way of approaching problems. This non-plateauing scaling law they keep mentioning. Basically, the more computing power you give O1, the more it can do. There's no cap, theoretically. It's like if you could just keep giving a supercomputer a bigger brain, it gets pretty wild to think about.
Okay, so bigger brain, bigger possibilities, got it. But what about the elephant in the server room, right? The
Yeah.
cost. 30 times the price of current models. I mean, I might need to win the lottery to even use this thing. Seriously, though, beyond all the impressive benchmarks and the price tag, what are the real-world implications here? What can it do that other AI can't?
Imagine tackling problems that need like days of computation, maybe even weeks. Things like complex scientific modeling, cracking encryption algorithms, stuff that takes human experts years to even get a handle on. O1 could potentially just blast through them. Still early days, but
So maybe hold off on that new car. Yeah.
yeah.
Might need to invest in some serious processing power instead. But speaking of accessibility, so O1 is off doing its super genius thing, right?
Yeah.
Becoming like the Stephen Hawking of AI. But in the meantime, there's this whole other AI revolution happening. And this one's all about like democratizing things, making it accessible, open source AI.
Right.
And things are getting interesting there too. There are some real contenders stemming up to those big names.
Absolutely. The open source community is doing more than just catching up. They're innovating in some really cool ways. Take Alibaba's Qwen 2.5, for example. It's like the all-rounder, you know, super versatile, good for all kinds of tasks. And the crazy part is, it's getting results that are just as good as these way bigger, more expensive models.
Really, it's that good.
It's really impressive. Yeah.
And it's not just like a one-trick pony or
Right,
anything.
no, not at all. They've got specialized versions like Qwen 2.5 Coder, if you're into that whole coding scene.
Ah, for the techies.
Exactly. And get this, they got Qwen 2.5 Math. So, yeah, if you're into numbers, there you go.
That's pretty cool. Makes you wonder what they'll come up with next.
I know. And it supports a ton of languages, like 29 or something like that.
All right, so
Yeah.
they've definitely got that whole breaking down barriers thing going for them.
For sure. And if you're thinking, okay, but can it do pictures too? The answer is also yes.
No way.
Yeah, Mistral AI, they've got this model, Pixtral 12b. It's multimodal, which basically means it gets both text and images.
Like it can actually see the picture.
In a way, yeah. And that just opens up a whole world of possibilities, you know. Imagine being able to analyze stuff with complex visuals, or like having an AI that can look at a chart and tell you what it means.
It'd be like having a research assistant that can actually understand graphs, maybe even better than I can.
Right. And it's already giving those big, expensive proprietary models a run for their money, especially in document analysis and things like that.
So that's two for open source then. What else is there?
Well, then you've got Microsoft throwing their hat in the ring with GrinMo.
Grinmo, catchy.
Yeah, it stands for Mixture of Experts. But the important thing is it's all about efficiency.
Okay, so this one's for those of us who don't have a supercomputer at home.
Exactly. It's designed to run on devices that don't have a ton of processing power.
Phones, laptops.
That's the idea. Maybe even your smartwatch before long. Who knows?
Wild. So we're talking about powerful AI that anyone can use anywhere. That's a pretty big deal.
It really is. It kind of makes you wonder, though, is this a turning point for open source?
Like, are we about to see a changing of the guard AI style? So it's less about one side winning and more about having the right tool for the job, right? Like, you wouldn't use a chainsaw to cut a tomato.
Exactly. And that's where things get really interesting, trying to figure out how to use all these different AIs.
Right. Because it seems like they all have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Absolutely. And your source mentioned this idea of model routers, which I think is kind of a cool concept.
Model routers, yeah. It was toward the end there.
Yeah. So imagine instead of just typing your question into one AI, you have this system that figures out which AI would be the best one to answer it.
Oh, okay. So it's like having a team of expert AIs and you've got this like manager AI delegating tasks. Okay, you're good with code. You handle this one. You're a visual whiz. You take this one.
Yeah. Exactly. Need some code written. QN 2.5 Coder is your guy. Got a super complex scientific paper to analyze. Time for O1 to shine.
It's like having a personalized AI dream team. But we've talked about all these different models and how to use them. What about the stuff that makes them tick?
The data, you mean?
Yeah, the data. They can't learn without it, right?
That's exactly it. It's like you can have the best of it in the world, but if you try to make a cake with rotten eggs, it's not going to be good no matter what.
Bad cake. Got it.
And the thing is, it's not just about quantity. It has to be good quality data.
Yeah.
And it has to be up to date.
Current events for AIs.
Kind of, yeah. The source mentioned a company called Bright Data that specializes in real-time web data. That kind of stuff is super important for these AIs to learn and adapt.
So the AI world is about more than just building smarter machines. It's also about making sure they have the right information to work with.
Exactly.
Makes sense. So it seems like the future of AI isn't going to be about one single super smart AI, but more like a whole bunch of specialized AIs all working together.
Right. And we might even need to learn how to speak to all these different AIs to get the most out of them, like learning different languages, but for machines.
AI for every occasion. I like it. Well, there you have it. We've gone from slow and steady AIs that could probably win Nobel Prizes to a whole world of open source options that anyone can use. The future of AI is looking pretty exciting and more than a little unpredictable.
It definitely keeps things interesting.
It really does. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the world of AI. Until next time, keep those digital minds sharp.